If you really want a Louisiana Cajun man, you gotta know how to handle that man. If you don't know how to handle that man, you better go and run just as fast as you can. He's a good hard working man. He can make his living on the sea, or he can make his living on the land. But you can't hold his hand all the time. You got to let him go. He gonna make one or two running down. He gonna come back to you just as fast as he can. That's the Louisiana Cajun man. If you really want a little bit more from him, give a one or two drink of wine. He might last all night long. If you think he gonna float on, give another drink of that wine. He gonna stay on that dancing floor just as long the band gonna play. That's a Louisiana Cajun man.
My ancestors were the Rigos. They got approximately, 30 island. They were two other families, two other gentlemen that were also given land grants to Grand Isle. But my ancestors were the first ones to actually come down here and pioneer and live down here. The other gentlemen, I think, were like gentlemen farmers or French aristocrats from New Orleans. So they may have lived down here part-time, but my family was the first one to come down here and build homes and actually work the land. Looking at it today, you wouldn't believe it, but this was plantation country. They raised sugar cane and cotton. They had slaves. They had a couple of very substantial plantation-type homes. They produced, I don't remember how many barrels of sugar and how many bales of cotton, but it was a fairly profitable. And it was your typical southern plantation being worked by slaves.
That's how we got our energy. A lot from driftwood, going to the beach for, especially in the wintertime. Now, in the summertime, we had them two little burn kerosene stove to cook with. And we live them days 80 to 85% of the time on the fat of the land. You could go kill dogs and catch fish, shrimp.
The very poor, his house had boards laid on the ground. Wasn't like a real floor. The roof and I think the sides too were palmettos. Very primitive living. It was almost like the Native Americans lived, you know. And they lived off the land. They would fish oysters, shrimp. Most of their food came was what they would either raise in their small gardens or they'd make a few dollars selling the shrimp to the places like Manila Village. The Filipinos and Chinese had shrimp drying platforms where they would dry shrimp and fish also, you know. Truck gardening, raising vegetables. They would sell as far away as New York and Chicago. Ideal growing conditions. The soil was very rich, and the mild climate. We were always some of the first on the market, and so we got top dollar for our crops.
They planted cucumbers, bush beans, pole beans.
Lake fishing. The smaller, poor people that didn't own much land, they made their living by fishing and hunting and trapping. Yeah, there was always fishing here.
And then when they got bigger boats, they start getting oysters from the other side of the river and transferring them into, you know, because on the other side of the river, the water was brackish, and then they'd bring them into salt water for them to grow and get salty.
It was fishermen, lived in a Shinya Kamenata. The whole family was fishermen at the time, on both sides of my mother's side and my father's side. I guess, all we want to do is make a living in the waters, and it's like a farmer from up north, and we farmers of the sea, and you give us We'd know what type of nets and what type of equipment we need and to crab, to fish, type any type of species to catch. That's what we were raised in the waters.
We'd go there and we just would anchor the boat out to stay tied up. And when the wind would calm down and stuff like that, the water would come red with redfish.
My daddy was, they used to have what they call a seining company. They'd fish with a net. And sometimes they'd fish with a slaughter pole too. And they'd sell all that trout. They would string the trout on a palmetto leaf, string it in through the gills.
And we went and it was got big, huge king mackerel that weighed 20 pounds a barrel.
Well, in summertime, they used to fish crab. Now, when they'd fish crab, they never had no crab traps. You had to put a line, and the old Frenchman used to call it a palon. And it was maybe 3-4 miles long, and about every 6 foot, they used to put a bait. And they used to use cattle lips and cattle ears, and put a slip knot in and measure, put a lip, and then have a small boat. And then you had a stick, you had to steer, and you couldn't run fast. It had to go slow, because every 6 foot, and them days, every bait had 3-4 crabs on it. And in the back of you, we used to call it a patten stick. It was made like a Y. When you get to your line where you had a picket, then you had a brick on the end to bring your line down, and then you had to hold it, and after you pass your brick, you put that line into that patten stick, and then you run, and you had like a ping pong net. But it was made out of, you used chicken wire, because you didn't want to use a string or anything like that, because a crab would bite it and it would hold on to it and you never had a chance. So you used to use the chicken wire and put it real tight. When you hit the crab, that he'd flap right off.
One of the things is going trumbull netting, which is with the nets to catch fish. I had my uncles, my dad, and my grandfather. My grandfather used to say in French, get la vomie. That means watch the vomit. So I'm looking at my dad. He was in the front of the boat. He said, when I tell you to jump, you're going to jump with the stick on the back of the boat. So I must have been 4 foot tall, the shortest one out of the bunch. But anyway, he was standing in front of the boat. He would hit with his feet laid on the boat. If they had any fish around, they would start moving. And my grandfather could tell how many fish they had.
Farming or fishing, that was it.